Blessed are the merciful. Good morning. Blessed are the merciful. That's what we're going to look at today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. That's quite a test for us, isn't it? Are you merciful? Jesus says the merciful are to be congratulated. And I wonder how many times am I to be congratulated because I am merciful. How do you respond to that? How do you respond to blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy? Think about that in your own life. How merciful are you? How do you respond to others? How do you do on this self-test? Do you look at your life against these traits that we've been talking about, the idea that we are to be poor in spirit, that we are to be mournful and sorrowful for our sins, that we are to be gentle, that we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness? How are you doing in these areas of your life? I hope and I pray that these are not just another set of sermons that you just happen to be here for. But I hope that you are really looking at your life and using these as tests against who you are. And they're not always pretty tests. They're not always feel-good tests. Matter of fact, most times they are hurtful tests because in truth, we don't always line up to the Word of God. And we don't always look like the Christians that Jesus is calling us to be here in Matthew chapter 5. And so, how do you do? Are you testing yourself week after week after week? I hope you are. Because these tests, these sermons have the ability to totally change who you are, in how you treat others, and how you see others, which in turn totally changes the way our church will see others and love others as well. And I want you to make sure that you understand that what we're talking about here are not a bunch of actions. Jesus is going to talk about actions a little later on. He's not voiding us of actions. But these are really attitudes. These are characteristics of who we are and who we should be. And so I wonder how many of us will be honest with ourselves and line up ourselves next to Scripture and say, these characteristics line up to who I am. These characteristics reflect who I am. The way we act will tell people what our attitudes are, though. Do not try to divorce these two ideas of character and actions, because our attitude, our character, will affect our actions. And so Christians, like Jesus said, are to be poor in spirit. Are you someone who understands who you are in light of who God is? And recognize there's nothing you can do on your own. There's nothing you can do to get to God. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. Are you someone who mourns, who has sorrow, who just looks at their sin and says, God, what a wretched man that I am. God, what a wretched person that I am. Is that you? Are you someone who is gentle? Someone who is loving? Do you thirst and hunger for righteousness? Not just another sermon, not just another Bible study, but really hungering thirst for life change in you. This is what we've been talking about. And today we get to mercy. It says, the merciful are blessed, for they will receive mercy. And when we understand the mercy of God, we're going to offer that to others. And so today, I hope that we understand that mercy. We want to show mercy to those who hurt us. Now, today may be tough for some of you to hear. But when Jesus talks about mercy, he's talking about forgiveness as well. And so I want to dive into this idea of mercy and try to understand better what Jesus meant when he said, "The merciful are blessed, for they will receive mercy." So let's check this out. The first idea that I want us to see is that we are called to mercy. Jesus is not just putting this out there. It's not just an idea. It's not just something he wants us to think about. But he says, those who are merciful, in other words, if you are a believer, you are a Christian, you are someone who gave your life to Christ, you should be merciful. And now, merciful, however, is not someone who's just easygoing. It's not someone who pretends things don't happen. It's not someone who is sinned against and is like, who cares? It's not some person who watches God's law and God's teaching broken and say, no big deal. That is not what we mean by merciful. This is not just a natural disposition of laid back and who cares. It's not someone who just has a flippant attitude about life. Rather, it is something like the others that the Spirit grows in us. We are not born this way. And that more we hang out with God, the more we understand God, the more we have relationship with God, we understand that this is something that the Spirit wells up in us. Say, why do you say that? Why do you say it's not natural born? Why do you say it's not someone who just lives life and is merciful and nice to people? Why? It's because God is described this way. And so we've got to be consistent with God's character. If we're going to say we're merciful and God's merciful, we've got to change to God's definition, not God to ours. So that's why I say it's something that we've got to be taught. Something we learn, something the Holy Spirit wells up in us. The Hebrew word for this is chesed. And it's often translated loving kindness. And it describes God. God is a loving God. It has to do with relationship and it has to do with covenant. And God is faithful to his covenant. And he oftentimes will show mercy when we don't deserve mercy at all. And so, what is mercy? When we look in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul's opening greeting is grace, mercy, and peace to you. Grace and mercy are connected and are similar. Grace is the ability or it's the idea that is associated when men and their sins, that we need mercy, we need grace to overcome our sin because only God can help us do that. But mercy has to do with the idea of not just overcoming sin, but having pity on those who are in sin. It is seeing someone who is in need of mercy and having sorrow and pity for them. Let me give you an example. Jesus tells the story of a guy who goes down from Jericho, and on his way down, he gets beat up and he's robbed. And he is just left there on the side of the road. And one religious guy comes by and he sees him and he just passes him by. The second guy, another religious guy, comes by and sees him and just passes him by. A third guy, a not religious guy, a guy who really their families don't exactly get together for Thanksgiving, if you know what I mean. They hate each other. They despise one another. And he looks at him and he has compassion. He looks at him and he has pity. And he goes over to the man and he bandages. He puts him on his donkey and they go down to the nearest hotel. And he pays for the guy to stay there. And he also gives some extra so that if there is anything the innkeeper needs to get, medicine or more wraps or anything like that, make sure he's fed, that could be done. And he says, look, if you've got to buy extra stuff, I'm going to come back and let me know and I'll pay that as well. Now, the other guys may have had pity on, like, said, poor guy, got beat up. I got to be somewhere. But their pity didn't lead them to action. Only the third guy's pity leads him to action. And so if we're going to be merciful, our mercy has got to lead us to action. Let me give you another example or another idea. We are sinful, broken people. We are all sinful. We are all disobedient to God. And God wants relationship with us, and he knows that he can't have relationship with us until this sin issue is fixed. And so in a real sense, God has pity on us. He feels sorry for us. He loves us. He cares for us. And so he goes and he becomes man. He puts on flesh. And when he does, he becomes like you and me. And his pity for us, his love for us, his care for us, caused him to act. And that action is that he became man, he lived a perfect life, and he was executed. He was murdered. And that love for us, that concern for us, that desire to have relationship for us didn't just end with his death. It ended with what we sung about a while ago, where he raises from the dead. And he offers us that same life. If only we will come into relationship with him. If only we will be obedient to him. If only we will give our lives over to him. So Jesus, in the form of God, is a picture of mercy, of God's mercy, of God's loving kindness coming down to you and I. But so many times, so many people misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. Some misunderstand the point of this beatitude. Some say, well, if we're going to have mercy, that means we have to be merciful. If we're going to love people, if we're going to show pity for them, if we're going to give to them something that they may or may not deserve, then we've got to do that so God will do it to us. And if we're not merciful, God cannot and will not be merciful for us. And really the idea comes from two other verses or two other places in the New Testament. The first place is when you read the Lord's Prayer. And as you read the Lord's Prayer, which is a few verses from here, Jesus says in that prayer, forgive us our sins, or yours may say debts, as we forgive those who sin against us or may have debts against us. So the idea that they come up with is that only God will only forgive us if we forgive. Another place that they get it from or this idea comes from is that Jesus tells this story of this guy who owes another man oodles of money, like crazy money. Money you will never pay back in your lifetime. And And Jesus says that the guy goes to the master and he begins to plead with him because the debt has been called. And he says, look, give me a little bit more time. I'm going to get the money for you. I just need time. I need a little bit of, just give me a chance. And so the master thinks about it. And he knows he's never going to pay him back. Because there's no way this guy will make this much money in his lifetime. And so he says, look, I tell you what, I'm just going to forgive your sin. I'm going to forgive your debt. You don't owe me anything. And the guy is so excited. He goes out, and when he goes out, he comes across somebody who owes him money. Now, what is owed to him is, it's not an insignificant amount of money, but compared to what he owed, it's like chump change. And he tells the guy, where's my money? And he goes, look, I'm sorry. Can I get a little bit more time? I'm going to get you your money. He says the exact same thing that the guy tells the master that he owed all the money to. And the guy says, look, you pay me now or you going to jail? The guy says, I don't have it. So he has him thrown into what's called debtor's prison. And then the master finds out that he did that to this other guy. And Jesus says the master is infuriated. And he calls the man in and he says, look, I forgave your debt. You owed me crazy money. And I forgave your debt. Yet you go to your brother and you throw him into debtor's prison. I tell you what. I'm reinstating the debt, and you go to debtor's prison. And then Jesus makes this statement at the end. And he says, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if you do not forgive brothers who sin against you. And so if you put these ideas together, you may say, well, look, I will only get mercy if I give mercy. And I understand that argument. However, there are a few things that really mess up that argument. The first thing is this. If we're going to be legalistic about it, are you really merciful to everybody? Do you really show mercy? Do you really forgive everybody who has hurt you? And if we're going to go by that rule, then none of us will ever get to heaven. The second thing that kind of gets in the way of this is called the doctrine of grace. Mentioned it before, that God comes and he offers us grace and he offers us forgiveness while we are still sinners. And so if we're going to be legalistic about it, then the whole doctrine of grace has to be thrown away. And so what it's saying is not necessarily that if we don't forgive and if we don't show mercy, that God will never forgive or show us mercy. What it means is if you're really repentant, then God will also show you mercy. If you're really repentant about what you've done, if you're really sorry for what you've done, if you really recognize what you've done, you will be forgiven. So let's look at this idea that mercy is not has to doesn't necessarily have to be legalistic, but it is a character change in us. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is God changing who we are. When you are truly repentant, if you are really sorry and understand and have that sorrow we talked about earlier for your sin, then you will be forgiven. And if we go further, if we are truly repentant and we recognize that God has forgiven us everything we've done, then we will reciprocate that to others. Who are you having trouble forgiving? Who are you having trouble being merciful to? Who are you having trouble seeing face to face and loving them? Who in your life, someone mentions their name, hate just begins to stir up? What Jesus is saying here is that when you really understand that God forgave you everything you did to him, that love that God gives us will be something that we give to others. And you need to understand that this beatitude, just like the others, is one that is connected to the rest. Because we will never show mercy until we're poor in spirit. We will never show mercy until we mourn. We will never offer forgiveness till we understand the forgiveness that is offered to us. So that when Jesus says, those who are merciful are blessed because you will receive mercy, when we offer mercy to others and we offer forgiveness to others, it's because we've already been forgiven. We've already received mercy. God has already looked at us and taken pity on us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That God is reconciling the world to himself. That idea that I have to be merciful so God will be merciful to me is actually backwards, because God has already shown us mercy. He's already given us forgiveness. And that if we are people who love God and who chase after God, we will be affected by that, and we will also offer it to others. So let's go back to this person that you have trouble forgiving. Maybe a friend, maybe a parent, maybe a child. Maybe an ex-son-in-law or daughter-in-law. What right do you have harboring that bitterness when God has forgiven you of what you've done? When you put it that way, changes things, doesn't it? And the more I'm with God, the more my character changes. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Sanctification, big word that says I become like Jesus. I become more and more like him. There's a beautiful picture of it in the New Testament. There's this guy who's a deacon. And he begins to have a Bible study, if you will. And he publicly begins to preach about who Jesus is. And he starts in the Old Testament. And he walks the people all the way up to Jesus. And when he gets to Jesus, he reminds the people there in Jerusalem that they killed him. And that they murdered the Son of God. And when the people hear that, some of them get really, really, really upset. And when they do that, they begin to pick up rocks. Not just little rocks. I mean like rocks you could hold in your hand. Big ones. And they begin to throw them at this guy named Stephen. And Stephen's response is not, God, can you drop some lightning here? Stephen's response is not, God, can you kill these people for me? Stephen's response was, God, don't hold it to their account. Stephen sees them like they really are. They're angry. They're people who misunderstand who God is. He has pity on them. And as they chuck rocks at his head, he says, God, forgive them. I don't know how quick I would be to say, God, forgive them, if somebody's throwing rocks at my head. And they eventually throw rocks enough that they kill him. And as they kill him, Stephen looks up and he sees Jesus. And his whole thing when dying is, God, show them mercy. Is that who we are? Is that who you are? Are you someone who gives mercy out to those who you think or may not think they deserve it? Because when you do, if you act this way, you already have mercy. Because you've given it to others. There are one of three reasons why we have trouble giving mercy. Maybe one of three reasons that you have trouble giving mercy. One thing is that maybe you don't really understand the grace and mercy of God. Maybe you've never really been poor in spirit and understood your total inability to reach God. And you've not been mournful. You've not had sorrow over your sin because you've never really understood your sin and what it does to God. And I hope you go through that process of looking at your sin and looking at yourself and realizing you are totally helpless, and that helplessness means that God has to intervene in your life and bring about change, and you are sorrowful for your sin. Maybe you don't understand that, so you're not quick to offer forgiveness and mercy to others. Second reason is maybe you're just so far away from Christ that you don't see forgiveness and mercy as something Christians should have. I invite you to come home. I invite you to come back to Christ. Third reason is maybe that you're still in your sin and you're still unforgiven. And you've never had this relationship we're talking about. You've never given your life to Christ. You've never given yourself to Him. You never said, I'm sorry for my sin, I'm going to follow you. And if that's you, I invite you to start that relationship today. Don't wait any longer. So I invite you to examine yourself. Because Jesus says, the merciful are blessed, for they will be shown mercy. I invite you to stand, spend time with God. Look at your life. Who do you need to show mercy to? Do you need to give your life to God? Do you need to come back to Christ? Will you deal with that now? I would love to pray with you about it. I'd love to talk with you about it. If we don't do it during this time, let's do it afterwards. But let's talk about what's going on in your life.